The Haitian Revolution that took place between 1791 to 1804 was a fight against the thousands of slaves in France. The revolutions were to free the poorly treated, hard-working slaves from the slaveholders. Haiti is the only country where slave freedom was taken by force and marks the only successful slave revolt in modern times. The slaves managed to unify Haiti, defeat Europe's most powerful army, and become the first country in Latin America to gain independence.
The Haitian Revolution could be a great example of how the stages of revolution could come into play. For the incubation stage, the island of Saint-Domingue was split up between three groups: the slaves, the white folks, and the free colored people. The slaves took up most of the population of Saint-Domingue. The social instability of the community was not in good shape. Therefore, the different colonies had social disagreements about economics and trading. To begin the revolution, the first revolt had to occur. About 1,000 plantations were burned down and many white and mixed people were slaughtered. This had brought a lot of attention towards the enslaved people of Haiti and motivated them into revolting.
Yeah, and this can be shown through the song Bad Blood by Taylor Swift.
As stated by Lillian before, in the incubation stage, Saint-Domingue was split up into three groups, and these three groups were all unstable because there was a financial differences between the three classes. The white slaveholders tried to suppress the freed black slaveholders and the slaves, and they tried to raise the price of the crops they were trying to sell, and this created disagreements. And during this whole time, everybody was also starting to question the French government because there was also a French Revolution going on. The song is about disagreement and bad blood between people, and this is basically what happened during this stage. There was the start of suppressing and disagreements, and yeah.
For the moderate stage, they explained how these people were responsible for filling in 40% of Spain's sugar and 60% of their coffee. Since the island was owned by the French, the good went through them first, and it was their job to compensate them for what they bring to the table. No matter how much sugar was produced by these people, they still felt as if they were not being fairly compensated for their work. They had so many disagreements that they had protests against the government. Toussaint also sent out letters to the slaves to form together. Already at the start of the revolution, the slaves were already a mob-like group. They carried out their revolts with extremely violent behaviors, most of which included murdering any whites or mixed person. Soon later, all the French were wiped out of Haiti.
If you've ever heard the song Black Spider-Man by Logic, this can portray the moderate stage.
During the modest stage is when an actual movement starts to form. There are forming of the groups, and there are protests that are mainly non-violent. And during this stage, Toussaint Louverture, he sent out letters to all the slaves to unify them. And part of the song, of the Black Spider-Man song, he says, "I am just here to spread the news." That is what Toussaint did by sending out the letters. And then there's another part where he says, "I feel like I don't belong. I feel like my life is wrong." That is where it could represent how the slaves felt, because they didn't choose the life of being a slave. They were born into it and taken from their family for it.
The crisis stage had many aspects to it. To say dealt with all problems within the slave group and handled outside affairs, all white, outmanoeuvring the other powers on the island. Even after the slaves won their independence, Toussaint was appointed as their president and tended to his people with great consideration. The war itself lasted 12 years. It was the first couple of years that were the most gruesome. It started with the slaves killing off anyone that wasn't a slave. The slaves had the advantage over everyone due to their huge numbers. Most of the other non-slaves were driven out of the island. Due to the fact that most of the populations were slaves, the second they began to act out, they took control. The free men were no match to the slaves. They were completely outnumbered.
With the song Purple Lamborghini by Suicide Squad, you can see how the song can really connect to the crisis stage in many ways.
The song talks a lot about gang-related violence, weapons, like in the section that was chosen. In the beginning, it says, "My revolver is not religious, the revelation is born." During the crisis stage is basically when the revelation is born, because that's when all the violence starts to dramatically increase. Secret governments finally come in. The government becomes more involved, basically, because they need to control everybody and the revolution itself. There are often more killings and assassinations, and that's what the slaves in the revolution did. They killed a lot of the white slave holders, and there was just an increase in violence.
For the recovery stage, immediately after their success, they started to go back to farming and thriving. They basically kept most of everything the same, and the only changes came when they wanted to provide for themselves. The island of Haiti was at peace. It was only until Napoleon took over France and tried to take back the island of Haiti. It was then the Haitians were forced to fight for their independence in order to return to their favored lifestyle. After the radicals got what they wanted, most of them returned to a new but normal life in Haiti. There were no more need for protests or radical ideas coming from them.
Exactly. And here, if you listen to Border Song by Aretha Franklin.
You see, during the crisis stage, it went on for quite a while because Toussaint died and there had to be a new leader and everything. They had to keep the fight going. But eventually, they reached the recovery stage in which Haiti was declared free of France in 1804. And in this song, the section that was played said, "Can we live in peace? Let us strive to find a way to make all hatred cease." That was basically what happened in this stage. There was peace and when they were declared free, and they went back to farming and thriving. With that, the success and that lifestyle, and yeah.
An important event that happened was when the French were wiped out of Haiti. Already at the start of the revolution, the slaves were already a mob-like group. They carried out their revolts with extremely violent behaviors, most of which included murdering any whites or mixed persons.
Let's take a quick listen to If I Die Young by the band Fairy.
The important event talked about how the slaves were already like a mob group, like you said, right? And they carried out their revolts with extremely violent behaviors. And these extremely violent behaviors came to killing many people because there was a pretty big fight back towards the slave. And in the song, it talks about how you're setting a life down peacefully. And with the many deaths occurring during this event, this song is a tribute to all those deaths.
An important person was Toussaint Louverture. He was a former slave who unified the slaves, and he planned and led them to revolt. He was the president for most of the time and was a leader to the slaves.
Take a quick listen to Everybody by Logic, and you can see how there is a connection between this song to what happened to the revolution.
Because of Toussaint, a short-term outcome from this revolution was that in 1796, he abolished slavery in the Spanish-speaking colony, and he became Saint Domingue's Governor General. He began to rebuild his battered, war-ravaged country, eventually negotiating trade alliances with the British and the United States. Feared by monarchies and slave owners, Sayant became known as the Black Napoleon. But the battle was still going on, as Napoleon wanted to expand and take more control of his country, and in doing so, he needed control of Haiti. When he was near taking control and made himself a governor general, he was captured and killed, leaving another to arise to the position of such leadership.
Have you ever heard Stronger by Kelly Clarkson? This song can really portray how the short-term outcomes of the revolution really made an impact to the long-term outcomes.
It's interesting how you said that Napoleon was known as the Black Napoleon, because I totally agree with that statement. I mean, for a short-term outcome, him being governor general makes sense because he was later captured and imprisoned and killed, and someone else had to arise to the position of the leadership. And when he was captured and killed, I heard that the slaves pushed harder to fight and keep the society going until they were eventually freed. And this song talks about how whatever kills you makes you stronger. So whatever killed Toussaint made the slaves stronger to make them fight harder, like I said before. And eventually they were declared independent, and this is how this song represents the short-term outcome.
Finally, let's take a quick snippet of Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson. This song represents the long-term outcome. And, yeah.
Some long-term outcomes of the revolution were that on January 1st, 1804, Dessalines declared the nation independent and renamed it Haiti. Also, the Haitian Revolution and the subsequent Declaration of Independence caused an economic decline that had left Haiti mired in poverty. Several crucial factors caused this decline. First, the warfare of the Haitian Revolution destroyed the capital and infrastructure of the economy. Second, Haiti lacked diplomatic and trade relations with other nations. Third, Haiti lacked investment, both foreign and domestic investment. Fourth, Haiti moved towards subsistence farming and away from plantation agriculture. Finally, reparation payments to France left the country deeply indebted. Haiti was unable to preserve or rebuild the wealth that Saint-Domingue once had, which made the country one of the poorest in the world today. And finally, He sold the vast Louisiana territory to the United States on April 30th, 1803. Louisiana purchased, and with the purchase came to what the United States used the land for, which led to the Civil War.
The song starts off with saying, "A summer disregard, a broken bottle top." And when they were free, that being a long-term outcome because the nation is declared independent and was renamed Haiti since 1804. And when Michael Jackson says that line, it kind of gives you a like free vibe, especially when he says, "and a one man soul." That's just you being you, and that's what the slaves were after they were freed. But they also, like, when he says they follow each other on the wind, you know, because they got nowhere to go. The slaves didn't have anywhere to go other than the United States, but the Haitian people stayed and had their nation, tried to build their nation, but there was an economic decline, and that left the nation in poverty. That was a crucial factor to their long-term outcome, and the song represents how he is free, but broke, just like the Haitian Revolution. Oh, and by the way, if you go on our website, we just released a new product. It's a camo pocket knife that could if you were to flip on the other side, it's a suspicious area with a mini rope that's provided. And this item is limited edition and will sell out pretty quickly. This item can be used in various ways, from using it as a weapon to raid, to protecting yourself and the people around you, especially since the revolution is going on and everything, and all the, you know, violence happening right now. But get it soon, while you can, and yeah.
So tell me a little about yourself.
Well, I am the oldest of all my siblings. I was born on a plantation at Preta Oholticap in St. Domingue, which was owned by Comte Dino and later managed by Beyond the Liberté. I was well educated by my godfather, Pierre Baptiste, a free person of color who lived and worked on the Breta plantation. In 1782, I married Suzanne Simone Baptiste. I had fathered 16 children with multiple women. I was freed in 1776 at the age 33, and I had been freed for 20 years. I appeared to have an important role on the plantation until the outbreak of the revolution. Presumably as a salaried employee who contributed to the daily functions of the plantation, I had initially been responsible for the livestock. As a free man, I began to accumulate wealth and property. Sooner, I was the leader of the growing resistance. My military and political ability allowed me to make good and quick judgment, and that helped lead a revolution of a lifetime. I fought for the Spanish against the French, then for France against Spain and Great Britain, and finally in behalf of Saint Dominique. All these military experiences gave me experience to be a leader for the revolution.
What was life like when you were a slave, and how did you manage to escape that life?
I did not escape. I was freed because of my impact to the plantation I worked on was good to the point where they saw me as a person, and that led to my freedom. I saw the difficulties of the other slaves in that experience, and that was me at first, but I eventually got up to where I was a paid employee. I couldn't complain because you gotta do what you gotta do, and to be not treated poorly. I had sympathy for the other slaves, though. I knew how difficult it was. I saw it with my own eyes. This eventually led me to do what I had to do with the revolution.
What was the cause for you to start this revolution?
The cause to start this revolution was that I knew what life was like as a slave. I saw how horrible and poorly the slaves were treated, and I could not accept that. I mean, they were barely feeding the slaves when they were making so much from them, getting the sugar and the coffee crops. The slaveholders were so involved with themselves and greedy that they couldn't focus on keeping the slaves alive to continue making them bank. This was the opportunity in which I went in to unify the slaves, to free them all from all this treatment.
How did you get the slaves successfully able to fight off one of the world's strongest military powers? How did you unify them and motivate them to do this?
My accomplishments set the grounds for a fellow, Jean-Jacques Dessalines, to finish off. When the uprising started, it was basically guerrilla warfare. We weren't very organized or very well equipped. By the time of the revolution, I had been a free man for over a decade, meaning I was able to circulate around the island and get a sense of what was going on more broadly. I sent a letter to all the slaves all over the island introducing myself, and in the letter I emphasized that I was fighting for liberty, equality, and fraternity, picking up these concepts directly from the French Revolution, which was going on during that time also. I was able to start organizing armies of former slaves and defeat the Spanish and British forces that had invaded Haiti, or Saint Dominique, known then. By 1801, I conquered Santo Domingo
By this point, my army had made great strides. In November 1803, slaves managed to defeat the greatest European military power. And on January 1st, 1804, Haiti was declared its independence. And it's in the proclamation, we use the expression, live free or die, which had been taken from the American Revolution itself.
How did you feel as all of this was falling into place and happening?
I felt accomplished in such a way. I was able to unify and lead the people to fight for an important cause. I arose in conditions that you wouldn't even think would be possible, but I started that. But with the help of the slaves, I think I was a main part in freeing them from their poor treatment and conditions they were in. Those selfish, greedy whites saw the possibility of us. I made them see that, and that we were more than what we seemed.
What were some challenges, conflicts that you faced during the revolution that you thought you couldn't get through?
There weren't any challenges that I really faced. I mean, in the beginning was most of it because all of that rush and that revolution was really happening. Like, I just had to wait for all the slaves to reply back to me. And by then, once they did, everything was starting to get into place and the revolution of the groups started up from the ground, which then we used guerrilla warfare, as I stated before, to continue to fight. I mean, other than being captured by Napoleon, it was pretty difficult, but my fellow helped complete the revolution. And in the end, Haiti got its independence.
So how can we use the information from this guerrilla campaign and from the revolution itself to help heal the divide within the United States, do you think?
Americans have segregated themselves between their political parties, which causes them to divide depending on their standpoint. Debating issues always starts off with man versus government, where the government introduces a new idea or opinion they would like to change. Soon after, they start to pick sides on their standpoint of the situation, but it could be man versus man that sparks ideas that once gets the government involved will uprise the situation with man versus man or political parties versus political parties.
Yeah, most certainly. Most debates start out with the government, then slowly increases into the civilians who then argue with their peers and others about their opinions. Politicians don't realize the depth that citizens go through to defend their positions, like how the slaves went to fight for their cause during the revolution and killed so many whites, burning their farms, etc. It was crazy times.
Yeah, and all they focus on is tearing down their opponent's side and building up support for their side that they don't consider the other side of the story. Just like I talked about in the Haitian Revolution, they were broken up into three different sections. The slaves, freed slaves, and the whites. They all had different opinions, and as the time grew, the slaves got tired of the whites as the whites got tired of the freed black trying to get the same rights as them. There was so much conflict between the three groups. This is what caused them to rebel. They felt like their views weren't acknowledged enough that they felt the need to get the whites' attention by proving it with their actions, that they either drove all the whites away or killed them.
Honestly, to sum it all up, I think a great way to deal with all these issues is if we take a look at the revolutions and the guerrilla campaign, and if we take a look at the ignorant information the whites thought and said and not do the same things then we could help heal the nation. The whites wanted to suppress the blacks so much with their greed to the point where they were the slaves and like free slaves were tired of it, as we can see from what we discussed before.
So using this to heal the divided nation, we need to look at the issues that all our race groups are facing in our political parties and fix the problem of the problem the majority of the group would like. For instance, as a nation, we need to fix the abortion law that some states are banning. I mean, I don't know about you, but I understand the thoughts of those that are pro-life, but the fetus scientifically won't even have a fully developed brain to make the decision to be born or not, and because it's a woman's body and her child, she should be able to pick what she should do with her child and what's best for her child. Like if we held a nation vote on the issue and if it wins, like if abortion is allowed, then it could cancel out those states that are trying to take away those women's rights. If we listen to each other and can be open-minded with situations, then we can get places in the U.S., not by suppressing because we are greedy with our selfish reasons. If it's a way to peacefully debate everyone's opinion on a topic, it's an alternative which relies heavily on imagination and high energy instead of using violence and revolting. This strategy helps touch people more personally and in a moral level.